I refrain from singing just now. I refrain from letting the joy of the Lord come forth. Only because I think my mic was louder than John's. And I didn't want to take over the song, but I wanted to join in. And, you know, I know my son would have been reaching over to Josh like, hey, mute him. I can tell you this. I mean, I'm waiting on the anointing on my voice to eventually fall. But I can tell you this. My daddy proud. Abba is proud. Daddy, he's proud. He just said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say sing in harmony. He knew that I was going to be here. So he said, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you may be seated in the presence of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. Father, I am so grateful, and I'm so thankful for this tremendous opportunity. Father, that even as I stand before you to minister to your people, Father, Father, I submit my will to yours, Father. Father, that you would hide me behind the cross, that I decrease as Christ increased, Father, that it's no longer I, but it's Christ that's revealed, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, use me, speak through me in the name of Jesus, and I will give you glory, I will give you honor and all the praise, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Good morning. Jesus, I have my man behind me. I think, I don't know if he got up yet. He's getting up now, Dennis. And he always says, I'm on fire, Pastor Mike. I'm ready. And that's how I feel deep down. Deep down. Because see, I hope you brought a fork and a knife today. I hope you didn't bring a spoon because you're gonna have a hard time cutting this up. Because, see, what I'm going to tell you today is important. It is key to the going forward. It is key. It is essential going forward. This is not some oatmeal that you got to chew up or just swallow. Because I need you. I need you. There's a song that I remember hearing that I need you to survive. I need you to get this. Not only I, but God wants you to understand this. Amen. See, and what I've found out in my walk with him is this very thing. That is the call. It's the call that saved me. It's the call that saved my soul from hell. But to be chosen is what saved or changed my life. To be chosen is what, see, most of you here don't know me outside of Pastor Mike or before Pastor Mike. I was talking to Mark this morning. Raise your hand, Mark. And he, listen, if you get to know Mark, if you don't know him, he's an awesome man of God and pretty funny. But see, I've been here for, it's going on 11 years, been pastor for 10 years, and most of you only know me as pastor or man of God or brother. See, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it took to get here. And there were some, listen, truth be told, there were some lumps I had to take. It was not the will of the Father in heaven to give me those lungs, but because of disobedience. I had some lumps. I know, Myron, I got you. I had some lumps. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. Hallelujah. 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 If you dare say amen. If not, it's on the screen. I have about 52 verses I have to get through today. And it's a nice day, and I've already been told by someone that they're going swimming. So it's 51 after this one, if you're going to want to keep count. The Bible declares, for many are called. See, last week, Pastor's message sermon was a call waiting. See, some of the lumps I had to take was because of I had God on that call waiting. He kept calling, and nowadays with the cell phone, I look and see, oh, that's God. No, I'm good. Listen, God's calling me again, but I don't want to answer it because he's going to ask me to do something, and I want to do it soon, but not now. So I'm going to, hold on, give me 1 second. I'm going to ignore. All right. And as it is, or as it was, he called me again. And I sent him the voicemail. But God is so loving, he's so caring, he kept calling me. I put the block on. And you know what? The block didn't work. He kept coming through. He kept coming through. And I thank God because he is a good, good father. But I couldn't ignore him. I couldn't get away from him. Some of the lumps I had to take was or my trips were my own doing. His desire was different from what I was willing for my own life. But thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercies. And Matthew 22:14, the Bible says, for many are called or a call waiting, but few are chosen, meaning for today that many is going to be, few are chosen means heard and answered the call. There's a dress and a walk to this. The dress is the blood of Christ Jesus. You have to put on the blood of Christ Jesus. And a walk is obedience. You have to walk in accordance to his will, his laws, his statutes, and his commands. There's a dress and a walk. I don't have time, but if you look at the verses just precede, that precedes 14, then it speaks of a wedding gathering. And towards the end of that parable, there were some that were there that was not supposed to be there. And the master went up to him and said, hey, what you guys doing? They're like, hey, we're just trying to fit in. We're trying to fake it to make it. And the master of that ceremony kicked them out. Why? Because faking it to make it is hypocrisy. I'm going to tell you the truth. Once again, you got to cut this thing up. You can't fake it with God. You cannot fake it with Jesus Christ because I hear often on the secular stage, a lot of times when they win the award or something, they say, first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior of my life. I'm going to tell you the truth because faking it is hypocrisy. Jesus said, how can you say you love me and keep not my commandments? See, it's one thing to say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. I thank the Lord for doing all these things. And he's the Lord and Savior of my life. But Jesus turned right back around and said, how can you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments? He went on to say in Matthew, I'm going to go quick with some of these because I'm down to 51. He said in Matthew chapter 7 and 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will. Somebody say will. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. There's a dress and a walk to this. There's a dress. I know this. Some of this is going to be a little... You got to chew it. It ain't oatmeal. You can't just throw it in your mouth and swallow it, or you're gonna choke. but to take it, meditate on it, because I tell you the truth. There's a dress and a walk to this. In Ephesians chapter 4, I do want you to go there. This is one of the main scriptures of this message. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. A dress and a walk is the call that saved me. And to be chosen is what changed my life. I didn't come here to Victory when I got here back in 08. I didn't come here as pastor. I didn't. I want everybody to know and understand this. I did not know Pastor Locke. I heard of his dad, but I didn't know him. So I didn't come here and got the hookup, and he's like, this is my boy. Man, well, you're going to be pastor with me. You're going to know. I didn't know him. I wasn't pastor, and I didn't know Pastor Locke. And God, not only did he call, he chose me. Listen, there's a call waiting for some of you, and there's some here who have answered the call, but there's something more that's required even after you answer the call. It says, how do we walk worthy of the call? And I'm glad you asked, because in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, he declares that I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. I'm taking my time on purpose. Bearing with one another in what? In love. In love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. There are three things that we find in this scripture. Three. And I'm going to, so that you know where we are, the three things are going to be, the Bible tells us, number one is to love. Number one is to love. Help me, Lord. In Colossians 3 and 14, you can write that down. Myron will put it on the screen. Colossians 3 and 14, I think I gave him that. 3 and 14, it says, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all things, there is nothing greater that you can put on. He says, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of peace. Jesus said in John 13 and 34, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is a choice, not a feeling. An action and not an emotion. I wish I would have gave that to my son so he could put that up, so that I want you to understand that love is a choice, not a feeling. An action, not an emotion. You will obey or not. Hear me. Because Jesus said a new commandment. He didn't say, hey, I got a new suggestion that I have for you. He said a new commandment. You will either obey or you will not. I choose to obey. Because why? The choice once made to choose to love leads to victory. Listen to me. See, to love leads to victory. Except if you choose not to. Then it leads other places. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, and I believe I'm down to 50 verses left. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, it tells us, and I'm going to read from, I normally read from New King James Version. My kids say I speak in New King James. But today I'm going to read this verse of scripture in the NLT. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning of verse 4. This tells you what love is and what love does. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. I'm going to stop right there. Because, see, I want to stay there for a minute because I've lived long enough that I've seen people hold records, keep records of wrong for decades. Decades. Now you talk about one decade. I'm 46. Once again, I've lived long enough that I've seen. But back in 1982, Jesus, I don't even remember what the big song was in 1982. Don't tell me, because somebody here knows it. Love keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record. I lived long enough that I've had offenses. I've had things done or things said to me, but if I love them, if they come to me and say, what have I done that you treat me this way? If I begin to list these things to the person that I claim I love, then I don't love them. You don't. Because love doesn't keep record. I got married in 1995, and if I went to my wife and she's like, why are you upset? Because I had a dream last night. Because in 97, you said this to me. And then once I started thinking about it, I remember what you said in 98. 99, you said this, you did this. See, if you truly love someone, if you truly love the way God says to love, then the Bible tells us that love covers. It covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of wrongs. So even if my wife did do anything, guess what happened? Because I love her, I covered her. I didn't allow that thing to sit and to fester for days, weeks, or years, or even decades. That now I've become bitter and sour within myself. Not only do I not love her, I don't even know how to anymore. There's no such thing as falling out of love. It's a choice. You either love or you don't. Period. And Jesus said that a new commandment that I give you. To love. Love keeps no record of wronged, of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And I'm going to go back to King James because New King James, I like it a little better. It says that in verse 8, it starts out that love never fails. Love never fails. It is impossible for love to fail. Love never fails. There's a dress and a walk to this thing to put on love. The first thing that has to be displayed in love, and once again, there's two other points, but this one here, the first one is love, and the first thing that's displayed when you love someone is humility. Search the word, you'll see it. You'll see it throughout the entire Bible. God, who is God, the sovereign one, the Holy One of Israel, he is El Shaddai, the Almighty, but the first thing that he displayed, it's humility. And he's God. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, correction, verse 3, to verse 8. If you're there, say amen. If not, it's right here on the screen. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one in one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. Who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Humility is the first thing that is displayed. But oftentimes, and I can't say that I'm exempt from it, oftentimes when we're called, and I'm just going to deal with me right now. When you're called, because I'm going to deal with me and my job. When I first started, I was a lot younger, about 20 years younger, and they called me up to do some certain things. And you know what? I was good at it. I was good. I was so good, I told them. But me and my supervisor used to have, like, disagreements. We used to have disagreements. But I was the man on the unit. He's always threatened. I'll transfer you back. Not just me. He said, told everybody that. I'll transfer you back. I used to tell him, you don't transfer the franchise player. Y'all might get transferred back. Because I was called to do a work, because I was called to do a function in the police department, and I excelled at it, and because of some disagreements that he'd get upset with the guys and say he'd transfer everyone back, and I kind of look at everybody like, well, if he transfer me, y'all stats will go down. No, I didn't think that. I told him. See, the first thing that's displayed in when you get the call should be humility, but that's not what I displayed. And you know who the first one that got transferred back? Take it from me. If you don't have humility or display it, God will teach it to you. That was the whole truth I just told you. The first one transferred back. First one. And you know all that? You don't transfer a franchise player and all of my pride and all that stuff? I was hurt. Because I believe my own stuff. I believed it. You don't transfer a franchise player, or guess what? Transfer. Lord, help me. But that's the first thing that's written and displayed in Ephesians 4 in verse 2, when it speaks of with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, this is a description of showing and displaying humility, being humble. Because if you don't, God will do it. And that's the truth. Because I didn't learn my lesson then. Because I got called to do another job, and I excelled at that, and I still thought I was the man. I looked at the other group of people. Listen to me. I looked at the other group of people and was like, like a little kid. I'm still special, and I'm still on the special unit. They recognize that I am not humble. There were many lessons. I tell you the truth. To love, you have to display humility. You have to. That's a prerequisite to what love is and what love does, and that's humility. Humility. And why do we love? Because it leads to what's number two. Number two, you'll find in Ephesians, and it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Number two is what you need, and these are three things that we need when we want to walk worthy of our call. Number one is love. Number two is humility. I'm sorry. Number two is unity. 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 I like it. If we love, then we know that one's gift is not greater than another's gift. If we love, and if we walk in unity, then I wouldn't hold my gift as a ransom. You want me to do this? Well, guess what? There's some stipulations that you have to conform to my will. If you want me here, because I can go anywhere. But if you want me here, then there's some things that you're going to have to do to accommodate me. See, but that's not love, and you won't have any ability to walk in unity if that exists within the body. You won't. As a matter of fact, if those are some of the conditions stated on the entry of anyone, then that's not love, and it's going to be virtually impossible to have unity. Because an individual will always try to hold that over a boss. Love means that you humble yourself and to walk in unity. My wife was speaking of two singers. I don't remember. Tasha Cobbs was one of them, and I forgot who the other one was. And she was speaking of how these two occupied the same stage. And she said she was speaking to, and she didn't know what the message was today, but she was speaking to Minister Anita, and she was like saying how awesome of a thing it is for those two powerful men and women of God who are able to function on the same stage. Now, I don't know anything about what she was saying, but I believe it. And I do believe that is amazing. Because oftentimes somebody has to be the one that like, no, it's me. It's me. Even though it's a team, back in the day when I was really good and franchise player, first one transferred, we were a team. But I felt what I brought to the game was more vital or important than what everyone else brought. Yet when I got transferred, they still functioned. I was the one going back. Listen to me, because this is amazing. See, they still function, but I did not. Jesus, to walk in unity, to walk in unity. Oftentimes we quote Psalms 133 when we want to describe the benefits to unity. In Psalms 133, I'm going to read it. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Unity. Unity. See, oftentimes when we go over this scripture, and I love the Word of God in its entirety, even the parts that kind of cut, ooh, that hurt a little bit. I love it because I know it's good. But oftentimes when we quote or we read Psalms 133, oftentimes we focus more on the man, or we focus more on Aaron as if he's the focal point to unity, or as he is the originator or the preeminence of unity. Every time you hear someone quoted, I'm going to tell you what they're going to talk. They're going to talk about Aaron and the head of Aaron, his beard, his skirt, and all of that. But it's nothing about Aaron. Yet Aaron holds a key and a function. A key and a function. But the originator of unity is God. See, we can't lose sight of that, as the Bible declares here. We can't lose sight that of the ointment. Because the ointment represents the Holy Spirit. Sure, you want to be in a place where Holy Spirit or the anointment falls on the man or woman of God, but it ain't nothing about the man or the woman of God. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him from the beginning of existence. It's all about Him and for Him. He said He created all this for Him. It's all about Jesus. It's been about Jesus. It's been about Him and His desire, His will for His people. Can't forget it. It's about the ointment or the oil, and the dew represents the blessing, favor, and promise of God. That's what the dew that descends has to be higher than the mountain it descends upon. When it falls on man, it has to be higher than the man that it falls on. If it isn't, then it's a pool, and if a man just stands in a pool, that becomes not that fresh anymore. It's all about God. That's why he goes on to say, there the Lord commanded the blessing. A commanded blessing is there in unity. A commanded blessing is in unity. This is why the enemy tries to come in and he tries to scatter the sheep. He tries to get everyone thinking his own way and thinking that they are more than they really are, and this church won't make it without me, and all of these things, because if he can get one seed planted in someone, then they'll begin to speak to someone else, and next thing you know, you have a little sect going on in church. And because some people who God has placed in every church are watchers and seers, they see them. And you know what watchers and seers do? They don't go by them. They stay away from them. When they try to tell, like, hey, there's something going on there, and next thing you know, 25 people left the church because they were not in unity. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. The commanded blessing is covenantal. It's covenantal. Meaning if you are married, there's a commanded blessing on your marriage and your house. A commanded blessing. You know what happens if see, I'm different from God, which everybody knew that. But because of my job, oftentimes I have to tell people to do something they don't want to do or stop doing something that they want to do. And they can resist. They can resist, and even though I said it. Because although I've given a command, they have an ability or will to resist. That's not so when it comes to God's command. If God says that I've commanded the blessing on your marriage because you walk in unity, then that's a commanded blessing. There's nothing that can stop it. Nothing. But I want you to go back to what we read in Corinthians, what love is and what love does. Because if your marriage isn't blessed, then you have to look at how you're walking. The Bible says, how can two walk unless they agree? Are you in agreement, or is there a unity in the marriage? My wife and I have been married, well, to be 24 years in September. I am the responsible one. Yes. I'm the one that I'll try my best not to be like Adam and say, listen, that woman you gave me, I was fine until you gave me that woman. Not going to be like that. I am the responsible one, but she's pretty much the boss. Yeah. Ching, 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 ching. Now, I do have veto powers. It got a layer of dust on it. There's some consequences to vetoes. Years it'll be. And I do next to nothing in my home if we don't agree. If I say, hun, I want to do this, and she say, probably shouldn't do that. I don't do it. Now, let me back up a little, because there was a number of years before when I say, hun, I want to do that, and she say, I'm probably not a good idea. I did it anyway. And then most of those times, it turned out not to be a good idea. I learn. I learned to there's power in agreement. And God said that he commands the blessing on unity. So if me and my wife don't agree, there's some ventures I wanted to do starting next year. My wife has kind of always went along with it, kind of like, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, yeah. But she never really went and said, yeah, just, I can't wait. Let's do it. So you know what happened to it? It got put on the back burner. Because until we agree, because, see, I understand the power that's in agreement. He said, if two of you agree in the earth concerning anything, it shall be done by your Father who is in heaven. I understand the power of agreement. If you want things to begin to go as the command of blessing states, then the marriages has to come into agreement. If you're not agreeing, don't do anything. Wait. Wait on God. If you have to pray, listen, pray. And hopefully you're praying together, but if for the moment, pray separately, because God is going to bring you together. And if that does not occur, then I'm going to tell you, you're not listening to God. Unity. There's a commanded blessing on unity. There's a commanded blessing. And unity is so important. One, it says above all things to put on love. That's primary. And we know what love is and what love does. We also know who is love. So that's why it's so important that you put on love, number one. Number two is to walk in unity. That unity is so important that our Lord and Savior spent a tremendous amount of time praying to his Father in heaven about unity. He prayed, and when I used to go over this, because this is found in John chapter 17, and I love John chapter 17. I love all of John. Listen, I can tell you, say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Hasha. I love John. I love, but see, when you go to John chapter 17, there's something there that baffled me, because if Jesus is the very Word of God, then when he prays, is he praying himself, or is he praying the heart of the Father? Is he praying? And that's how I always took it, that this is the Son of the living God, the very Word of God, praying. And you'll turn to John 17 and the verse 20. I'm going to start in verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be what? One. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, that I have declared to them your name and will declare it again. That the love with you love me may be in them, and I in them. This is so important. This very prayer that our Lord prayed to the Father, it deals with the first two things I've mentioned. Love and unity. This is how important it is. Don't stop loving. Don't stop loving. Don't stop walking in agreement or in unity. Because there's not only is it a blessing, there is a commanded blessing. Chapter 28, I didn't write the blessing. Listen, you can find that in Deuteronomy, verse chapter 28. I didn't write that down because that would have extended the too many. It would have been too many. But he says in Deuteronomy 20:21 that if you obey, that all of these blessings will come and overtake you. You can't get away from it. You can try to get away from it. Lord, it's enough, it's enough. It's going to come and it's going to overtake you. Why? Because you're obedient to his word. You're obedient. You walk in unity because he's in the house. So when you do that, there's a commanded blessing that chases you down and overtakes you. This is why God spoke. This is why Jesus prayed so fervently to the Father in John chapter 17, that he prayed for us throughout all time. The prayer was effective then, and his prayer is effective 2,000 years later. And if God's your will, guess what? It's going to be effective 3,000 years later until he comes. Amen? The unity exists, or its preeminence is from God. It's from God, and it's been from him from the very beginning. And even as we see in this chapter, I found it awesome that this was the first time, and let me get you the verse, this was the first time that I had seen, because Jesus constantly prayed that, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And if you understand, and listen, I One of the reasons I never went back and got my degree in college, because I stunk at English. My English papers I used to get back had more ink on it than I had. True story. Help me, Lord. Let me get back. Why did I say that? Oh, Jesus. But if you know, that's what I thank you, Lord. If you know just simple grammar and sentence structure, then you know that if Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not as I will or not my will, but thine be done, then the simple structure of that sentence declares that Jesus has a will. He has a will. Yet, the only time that I found, or the first time, I haven't found any other place where it's written, but the first time I seen that Jesus has a will. And what it was in John 17, verse 14. John 17, verse 14, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father, the world had known you. His will, that we be where he is. Now, that was his desire. But what I want you to understand is desire, a simple definition of desire, if Myra, you had it. Desire is a strong feeling of wanting or having something to happen. A strong feeling of wanting to have something to happen. A desire, that's what a desire is. Yet your desire, and you can see it in your own life, this is where desire leads to will. If you have a desire to go get a degree, then guess what? You're going to will yourself. And a simple definition to will is power to do. Power to do a thing, or will power. So Jesus' desire leads to his will. And not only that, where God's will is, God's will is revealed in his desire. I'm going to say that again. God's will is revealed in his desire. And I'm going to go through three scriptures real fast. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. It says, I, our God who desires. See, he, God, the Father, desired, and he made a will or willed a way for his desire to be met. He said, for our God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3 and 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's desire was that save all men. So he willed a way for his desire to be met. Jesus' will is revealed in his desire. The Son's will is revealed in his desire, as we've already read in chapter 17, my will, Jesus, my will is revealed in my desires. My will, your will, is revealed in what you desire. Because whatever you desire, you're going to go after it. Be careful what your desires are. My will is revealed in my desire. And what is my desire? Me personally, my desire is to be pleasing to the Father in heaven. There is no greater desire that I have. It's to be pleasing to my Father in heaven. And then I find a verse of scripture where my desire meets my will. In Matthew 6 and 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." He says, to seek first the kingdom of God. Mine is to be pleasing. So whatever it is the Lord would will, my desire is to do his will. My desire is to do his will. And the awesome thing about the Word of God and the awesome thing about Jesus Christ, his desire was only revealed after or right at the process of him completing the Father's will. You won't see what Jesus' desire is until he's gotten to a place where he's about to complete the assignment for which he came for. So he's praying just before the completion of his assignment. Father, my will is this. Jesus chose to do the will of his Father, even though it cost him his very life. Are you willing to do the will of your Father in heaven, even if it costs you? Am I willing to do the will of my Father, even if it costs me? Oh, it's going to cost all of us our life, because everyone here is either going to die or get caught up, one or the other. But are you willing? Are you willing to give up everything? To give up everything that your Father's will would desire. And what happened after Jesus completed what the will of the Father is? God seated him and gave him a name. Listen, if there's anything I want you to get all of this, but listen, this is what happens when you do the will of the Father in its entirety. He seats you and he gives you a name. He seats you and he gives you a name. See, if I go to Chicago, no, let's use, because I don't know nothing in Chicago. I'm going to use New York, because the Apollo Theater is in New York, right? So if you put my name on the Apollo Theater, that I'm going to be there next Saturday, you know how many people will come? My wife. And Joe. And I believe him. My wife and Joe. Everyone else, oh man, I don't know if I can get off. But let Bishop Jakes put his name up there. Half this region will take off. See, when you do the will of the Father, he seats you and he gives you a name. And not only that, guess what happens with your name? Your gifts begin to be revealed. So now you're seated, name, gifts, and guess what the gifts do? They make room. See, this is what comes from the call to, in order to walk worthy of your calling. And I've already spoke of humility as first, but I'm going to go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and starting in verse 5, and humility comes first. Humility always comes first. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every knee shall bow of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. I love it. He sees you when you're willing to just do what he's called us to do. Because, see, if you do these two, if you do these first two, that if you love and you walk in unity, and the command of blessings follows that, not only just follows it, it overtakes you. What's the next thing you find you're going to have? It's peace. Peace. Peace like a river. This is what comes from walking worthy. Walking worthy of the call. Number one is love. Number two, unity. And number three is peace. With all holiness and gentleness and long-suffering. With long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace. Peace is something that I've sought after for a long, long time. I thought if I accomplished some things that I would have peace. I thought if I did some things, have get married, have kids, a family, do the dad thing, the husband thing, provide, and I thought if I did all these things that I would have peace. But I didn't. Not only did I not have peace in the beginning years, there was more trouble than anything. There's more trouble, there was more stress, there was more sleepless nights. And when I tell you sleepless nights, there have been seasons where I couldn't sleep at all. I would wake up in the middle of the night and anxiety is all over me. I want you to know this. Because once again, some only know Pastor Mike. Some only see, a lot of times we only see the outer shell, or we only see that what God is doing now and the blessings that come and overtake and what everything that God is doing now, but you don't know what it took to get here. And I don't want you to give up wherever you are. I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to give up, because there were times in my testimony that I prayed and cried for 3 years for God to move and to do a thing, and then nothing happened. I mean, I cried, I spoke his word. I said, you said to call upon you in my time of trouble. I'm in trouble. And when I got up, I felt the Spirit of God comfort me, but I was not out of trouble. There was no peace. How do I get peace? How do you get peace? It's only one place. One place. Love, unity. It's found in John 17 and in Ephesians, and it's found in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Let not your heart. Jesus says, for some, guess what? You have to pick it up. You see peace all around, but you're wondering why. Why isn't it on me? Well, guess what? Pick it up. Because he says, peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace, I give to you. Accept it. Speak even as Jesus prayed And often to the Father, he says, not my will, but yours be done. See, when you do this and you begin to recognize and understand the sovereignty of the Most High, then you can walk anywhere on this planet and not be afraid of one thing, not be troubled by one thing, not have to look over your shoulder because, see, I understand that wherever God sends me, he'll keep me. I understand this. I have that peace. And listen, it's not something that soon as I got saved that I grasped and I understood it. But there were some things. Why? Because that wasn't my statement, nor was it my prayer to Father, not as I will. Because back then it was my will, Father, my will, my desire. I'm going to lay it all out before you, Lord God. This is what I want. And when I put my will and my desire over here, his only thing I found was fear, trouble, and calamity. Because I said, no, God, I don't want this. I don't want your will. I'll do your will after I've performed my will. And that's directly contradictory to what I've seen Christ do, who is our high priest, who is our example. Christ fulfilled the will of the Father. Then his desires were met. Do the work of the Father. Do what he's called us to do, to love. To love. It's in your will to do. It's not in your emotions. If it was emotional, then how in the world could God say for you to love your enemies? Do good. It's because love is not an emotion. It's something that you will yourself to do. And guess what happens when you will yourself to love? It becomes a lot easier to love. I've seen it. To love, this is even, if you will, our slogan here at Victory. Love God completely. Love people unconditionally. Love life enthusiastically. This is who we are. Why? Because this is where God told us to be. To love. Wherever you are, there's going to be some trouble around you. But my Bible says 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with thine eyes shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, even the Most High, thy habitation. He says, there no evil shall befall you. This is the peace that God wants to give you. Hasha. Hasha. Jesus. He says to love. He says to love. Wherever you go, guess what? Guess what? The enemy's watching. He wants to set a trap and a snare. He wants to trip you up. He wants you not to fulfill God's will and his desire. So even if you leave one place and go into another, guess what you're going to find? They're going to find the enemy there too. Stand. He says to stand. He says, how about you? He said, when you've done all that you can, stand. Why? That you might see the salvation of your God. Stand peace. Finally, I'm going to read. I'm going to finish here. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, beginning of verse 8. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Love peace, love unity and peace. Hallelujah. Love unity and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are the redeemed of the Lord, then this unity and the commanded blessing that goes with it is yours. It's for you. If you love, if you walk in unity, you'll have peace. And this altar call, the first part of this altar call, I am asking, even as the Word of God would say when Paul writes at times, or Timothy, he says, I beseech thee. I'm asking that every married couple come to the altar. Everyone married. If your husband or your wife isn't here, then that's okay. You can still stand in proxy. Because the reason I'm asking every married couple is this very simple truth. Because if you don't have love, unity, and peace at home, it's impossible to bring it here. It's impossible. You cannot give what you do not have. Because, see, there's a move of God. There's a move of God. There's a move coming. There's a move of God that's coming. And he's asking, not only is he asking, he's commanding that we fall in line to his word. That we love, that we be in unity, and that we have in peace. If you don't have in to pursue it, go after it. Because there's a move of God. Hallelujah. You guys can sing softly, but I'm going to have my wife to pray. Because see, even as this day was appointed for me to minister the Word of God, I asked, this is some surprise to her. Once again, unless we agree, we don't do it. And I asked her earlier this week that I think that this is what Holy Spirit is asking. That I minister, and once I finish ministry, that she prays. Why? Because we are one. We walk, we love, we walk in unity, and we have peace. So we're praying this over everyone here. Amen. Hallelujah.
Awesome. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, and even as you have called these couples up this morning, Lord God, I pray love. I pray unity. I pray peace to grow stronger within these bonds of marriage, Lord God. God, and even those that stand in proxy, Lord God, that their spouse is not here, Lord God. God, ultimately, let there be a hunger for your word, Lord God. That as we listen and obey your word, Lord God, hallelujah, the love will grow, the unity will grow, the peace will be there, Lord God. So, God, I pray, Lord God, a covering over each and every marriage, Lord God, that we will walk stronger together, Lord God, that we will not forsake your word, Lord God, hallelujah, that we will demand the commanded blessing that your promises in your word have given. God, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for such a rich word, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, let us walk in humility, Lord God. God, let us be submissive to your word, Lord God. Ultimately to your word, Lord God. We are being submissive to your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, cause love to increase, Lord God. Let us be intentional, Lord Jesus. Let us be intentional, Lord God, to display love, to demonstrate love, Lord God, your love, Lord God, to one another, Lord God, even in the body of Christ, Lord God. Hallelujah, that we will walk in love and unity, Lord God. Hallelujah, because we can only move forward as we walk in love and unity, Lord God. Hallelujah, so let it increase even now, Lord God. Let us walk on your promises. Let us speak your promises daily to one another, Lord God. Hallelujah, that as we speak it, hallelujah, it comes to life, Lord God. Lord God, because your word said that all we got to do is speak a word. Speak a word, Lord God. Hallelujah. So let us begin to speak your promises, Lord God, to one another, Lord God, even as couples, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we would begin to speak your commanded blessings over our marriages, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let the love increase, Lord God. Let the unity increase, Lord God. Let humility exude from us, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord God, for your promises, Lord God. Hallelujah. We stand firm. We stand firm upon your promises this day, Lord God. Hallelujah. That blessings will overtake us, Lord God. We believe in your word. We believe in your promises, Lord God. We can do nothing. We can do nothing without you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you today, Lord God, for your promises. Hallelujah.
Resting in your presence. Living in your presence. Said, I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. Yeah. I said, I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I need to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Yeah.
Seasons that God may have taken you through, or different seasons we've gone through in life. And for every season, sometimes it's like, oh, Jesus, why am I going through this? Why are you taking me through this? How am I going to get through this? And hallelujah. I feel that some, even as couples, married couples, you're going through some seasons and you're like, man, God, why? Doing according to your word. I'm doing according to your will. And I don't understand why. But for every season he's taking you through, for every, whether it be difficult, easy, for every season he's taking you through, it's to take you into something he's preparing for you to do. And you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to be built up for it. You can't walk into the next season without learning what he was trying to teach you in this current season. So whether it may be difficult, whether it's hard to understand, learn what God is trying to teach you, because he's preparing you, whether it's for ministry, whether it's for ministry or it's for someone just looking at, watching your marriage, watching what you're going through to see how you're going to respond. Trust in his promises. Trust in that commanded blessing. Hallelujah. He's preparing you for greater. And don't lose faith. Don't lose faith in what he's taking you through. Don't give up. Many times it's easier to give up. But if I would have gave up in year 5, I can't tell you how happy and how much I love him. Hallelujah. But I could have gave up in year 3, year 5. But at year 24, oh man, it's great. It's great. And I wouldn't trade it. Hallelujah. I thank God I didn't give up, because I could have walked away easily, but we kept pressing forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we spoke love into our marriage. Whether it wasn't there, we were very intentional to love him. Hallelujah. In spite of all his humility issues, I loved him past that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you just learn in the current season you're in, it's so much greater on the other side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait and see what God has in store. Hear the word of the Lord and believe me that there is a move coming. There's a move. No matter what you see on the exterior, no matter, believe the word of God. Everyone here, I'll give you an assignment for this week. Is make it be purposeful this week and read Psalms 91, because as sure as God declares a word or speaks a word into the atmosphere, the enemy tries to come against it. To love, the unity and peace. And the first thing the enemy is going to do when you walk out of here, because he's not allowed in here. Why? Because I prayed before we got started. But as soon as you leave here, the first thing he's going to try to do is take away the very thing that Jesus gave you, and that's peace. And then once peace leaves, and then he tries to work on the others. But if you don't have the love and unity, it's impossible to have peace. Receive it, grab hold of it, and go with it, because there is a move. Gotcha. Jump in. You know, I see a pool. And as it is, I've seen it in my youth, even as into adulthood. Sometimes when you get to a pool on a hot day and you're like, oh, you don't want to walk in it because that's going to take too long. To get, jump right in. Listen, jump right in. It's good, and there's so much God has in store for you. So I'm going to bless everyone, everyone lift their hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray for everyone here under the sound of my voice. Father, the word that you have given me, I have given them. And Father, may they see and know that you are sovereign, that you are God, that it, no matter what they, where they are now or what's going on in their life, that if they would do what it is that you've called us to do, to have love for one another, to be in unity and to have peace, then there's so much coming their way, Father. There's a commanded blessing that's there. Father, reveal your word in the life of each and every one here, Father, that they would see and know that even as you have spoken it, that you have fulfilled it as well. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for the earth. Amen. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless your going and your coming. I bless your homes, your finances, your jobs. I bless your marriages. I bless your relationships. I bless everything to which God has had you appointed or assigned. May you be so overflow with blessings, love, and unity that you do what? Give it away before you leave. Amen.